That used to be a thing. That used to be a thing, and then I destroyed it.
Motherfucker, I'm awesome.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Nick.
No, you're awesome.
I'm awesome! Motherfucker, I'm awesome. Xbox.
Hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Ryan.
I'm Nick.
And tonight on the Elite Kuztios podcast...
I'm awesome.
Voxeltron?
Nanaka Crash? A Gaiden, maybe.
So what's up? Welcome back. We're so happy to have you once again here in the studio.
Are you talking to me or the listeners?
I was hoping that you'd put on a funny voice and say you were Cliffy B or something.
Oh, I don't know what Cliffy B sounds like. How would I know? I've never met
him. I'm Clifford Bames Johnson, commonly known as Cliffy B.
Is he the one who won the rights to Gearbox Software from Gabe Newell in a
poker game on a ship? Boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just going down into the heart of darkness.
Whoa.
That's what I feel like sometimes when I'm playing Just Cause 2. I just flash back to, like, taking a riverboat up a river in a wooded section of the... that was Africa, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Also kind of Vietnam, if you confuse the book with the movie.
Okay. You mean Apocalypse Now?
That one, yeah.
Okay.
Into the Heart of Darkness. But then I think of the name of the book, and it makes me think of that song that I still don't know the real title of, or the real author of. The musical author. He wrote a song. Yeah, you doing anything for NaNoWriMo?
No.
Oh.
You're
not going to write a book where using a language where all of the characters are dicks?
I considered doing something for NaNoWriMo, not that. Okay. But I did consider it. And
did you consider...
I like confidence.
Sometimes. I was thinking about... It was Mega Man X. It's X and Zero.
Yeah.
That's a cross and a circle.
Yeah.
It's like tic-tac-toe.
Tic-tac-toe.
Yeah. Symbolism.
Whoa.
Of the class conflict.
Because the Zero, but...
Proletariat and the bourgeoisie.
But Zero's the red one, and he starts out with all the cool things, and then you... don't have the cool things.
Exactly. He's a proletariat. Mega Man is a story of revolution.
No, the...
robot revolution.
The proletariat are the working class that don't have the things.
Yeah, and that's Mega Man.
Yeah, but... okay.
Listen, dude. That's Mega Man. What else you want me to say?
Do you want to gush about how good Mega Man X is?
Dude... number three is just fucking play Mega Man.
Riding on cars!
See, that was a good gag.
Yeah. Go check out Ego Raptor's Sequelitis video about Mega Man and Mega Man X, because they're really good, and he makes a lot of good points about...
yeah, about...
just basically, like, how Mega Man was... just an example of amazing game design in an era that didn't have game design.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's not to be taken as, like... I don't even know how much of that was actually good game design, because if you notice, that's, like, the sweet spot. Because the amount of work and money it would take to make a game like that is less than the industry, like, gets today for games. Or kind of.
Do you think so?
I mean, just in the sense of, like... they were still building up to video games. So they were still trying to get, you know, like, video games and graphics right before they started working on, like, telling you how stuff works. Now we have, you know, UDK and engines, and, like, half the game is already built. So then you start building levels and figuring out what you're going to have to tell people about. I mean, maybe I'm going off the rails here, but I think it's, you know, it was back in, like, you look at something like Ninja Gaiden.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, like, a lot of the points that he made about Mega Man X... okay, first of all, half of them you disregard because, oh, look, he shot a thing on the main menu into, oh, look, I can shoot a thing in the game. I'm calling bullshit on a couple of those. I'm calling bullshit on press right to move right.
Okay.
Like, but like when you get rid of like when you get rid of a lot of those, like, okay, I can't jump over here. Like the first time I picked up Mega Man, I knew how to move, jump, and shoot. So whether that comes from already knowing how to play video games, or I mean, that must be where it comes from. But like if you're not already sort of inundated in video games, you're either going to have somebody sitting there showing you how to play the game and making you play the game, or you're probably not going to be playing video games.
No, what if you're like a 10-year-old kid, your parents got you a SNES for Christmas, and you're like, oh, that was cool, that's got robots on the box, I want Mega Man, I want Mega Man X. And then you're just some kid with Mega Man X, no idea what you're doing.
Because it is not like...
Like, I don't think that's a fringe case. I think that was a...
Okay, but to be fair, you don't... The nature of learning, the nature of playing, which video games rely heavily on, is the first thing you do is kind of pick up the thing and figure out what all the buttons do by just mashing on everything.
Mm.
So you don't sort of learn to move right and then learn to jump when you encounter an enemy that you cannot move right through. You learn to jump when you hit the jump button and it happened immediately. Which... is sort of my argument against contextual buttons, because then if you can press stuff, yeah, it'll always do something different. And then you have to tell the player what it's going to do, either with a pop-up or with something else. It's unclear. That is a valid point. That's not what he was saying at that moment.
Okay.
Okay. But yeah, like, I think it's just the way they were working on stuff. That was a point where they were not working on, well, what do we have to tell the players that he knows how to play the game? They were just working on, let's keep making games. What are we doing this one? We'll move right. You'll be able to shoot and jump.
Jump and shoot.
They'll figure it out. It's not like, I really don't think they put those things there, like, specifically for that purpose. It definitely does sort of build up a curve, because you need to start learning different ways to do things. Like showing something in a very controlled manner, so that way you learn how to deal with just that, and then you move on? Yes, I think that is what they were going for. Specifically, how do I jump? What can I not jump over? How do I shoot? How do I charge? I'm pretty sure that's not what they had in mind.
Okay.
And they were just like, well, text boxes are hard to make, so let's only put them in, like, three spots in the whole game.
First fight after Vile, and then...
Every capsule.
And every capsule. That's more than three spots. Your argument's invalid.
The intro to the Wily stages? I know they're not Wily.
There were
no
Wily stages. God, you're so dumb. Don't worry about it. So you know what I've been playing recently?
Far Cry 2?
Yeah. Somebody bought me Far Cry 2 on Steam, because it was on sale a while back. And I had never played that game in, like... So I've been playing it and stuff. So far, I've been having a lot of fun. Just kind of, you know, wandering around, because after you go through some tutorial, it just kind of, you know, plonks you in the middle of this village. And it's like, okay, somewhere out there is that dude. Should, like, you know, probably kill him eventually. Go.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, spent some time doing missions for the arms dealers to get them to sell me a flare gun, just kind of driving around, picking up crates of diamonds and stuff. I only started doing, like, the actual story missions, like, 2-3 days after I started playing that game. They're distressing.
Like in just...
Okay, so... When you start the game, you have a best buddy.
Yeah.
Because, like, one of the tutorial missions is like, oh, those assholes over there, like, kidnapped some foreigner and just have him in the back of that facility over there. Why don't you go break him out? He'll probably be grateful. And then he becomes your best buddy.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, my guy just, he speaks like an asshole.
Like your character or your buddy?
No, my buddy.
Okay.
He's just like, hey, man, you know about Katu? I hear it's like... Like coffee and heroin wrapped together. It's better than both of them. I hear some guys over there growing it. They just got a big sack laying out in the open. You should get some of that shiznit. And I'm like, oh, you said shiznit. You just said that.
Wait, did he actually?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
So then, like, the purpose of your best buddy is to, like, give you alternate ways to complete missions and tips. Like, so this mission I took was one of the factions. They heard that someone had hired a bunch of special forces assholes to kill somebody. They wouldn't tell me.
Okay.
And they were like, you know, we can't have this because, you know, people are going to think it was us. And they're going to be saying, like, oh, they must have so much money to go hire special forces assholes to go take care of some trash. So you got to go just kill those guys. Just make them go away. Destroy all their gear. Leave them out in the desert. Deal with it. So I'm like, I mean, okay, whatever. You know, it'll advance Act 1. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm going out, and then my best buddy calls me up, and he's like, hey, man, meet me up at this safe house. I want to tell you something. I'm like, oh, okay, cool, best buddy, let's go. And he's like, all right, so I heard about your problem, and that Special Forces team, they're here to take me out. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, I've been stealing medical supplies from both factions and selling them back to the other factions. And I'm like, you're a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Like, what? What? So he's like, yeah, just give them some bad coordinates and tell them to go to Shantytown and fight them there and stuff and help me out here. And I'm like, no.
So do you make him die?
No, because he was in a safe house where, like, you can't draw your weapons or anything.
Oh.
Like, for real, I wanted to put him down right there because he's obviously a huge asshole.
Yeah.
But, like, I can't interact with him in a space where I'm allowed to use weapons. So, like, the worst I could do was not, you know, take his advice and help him cover his tracks. So I just went and took care of those guys, and he was just like, oh, you're just going to leave me with my ass out in the wind? And I was like, dude, I would have put you underground if I could.
Is it a clever ruse and he's the dude you're looking for?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I've found, like, two other guys that are now my buddies, too.
Oh.
One of them was in a plane crash. One of them just showed up. I don't know how he got there, but, like, I went down to the place where you meet up with your buddies, and he was like, hey, I'm here. Want to do a mission?
Hmm. You know, that's almost one of those using the game engine for narrative purposes.
Oh.
Because usually if there's like a character who you cannot kill or you cannot interact with in a normal way, usually that means that they are story important. But like if you're trying to see who's going to turn traitor, you just got to make a bunch of people story important so you're not sure who it is.
They can get killed somehow, because, like, if I go to my statistics screen, it'll be, like, you know, buddies rescued, and then, like, buddies deceased.
Oh, man.
So I don't know how to do that, but I definitely want to kill that guy.
Want to make it happen to him.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, maybe if I had done his thing and sent them bad coordinates, he would have, like, come with me on the mission, and then maybe something could have happened to him. I don't know.
Would have been nice.
I mean, like, that game's weird because it's been giving me total mixed signals from the start. Like, you know, your whole reason for being in that country ostensibly is to kill this one arms dealer who's basically instigated this big war that's tearing this country apart so that he can sell guns to both sides.
Right.
And then the first thing I do is, like, drive up the road and there's an arms dealer who wants me to take a mission for him to take out a rival arms dealer so that he'll sell me more guns. And I'm like, well,
that's like a meta
war.
I do
want more guns. And then, like, you also have a second best buddy.
Okay.
Like, not just another best buddy, but you have a buddy who is your second best buddy.
Okay.
And her purpose is to revive you every now and then.
Right. When you die?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like, the first time I meet her, she's like, blah, 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 and don't you get mixed up with either of those factions. They're all animals. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, that sounds about right. Like, I have no idea who either of them are. They've both got acronym names. I don't know what they're fighting for. And I did all the arms dealer missions that I can do at this stage, and I don't see any way to advance the game except but to side with one of them. So I'm just like, I don't really want to do that.
So see, now if you're playing Way of the Samurai,
yeah, I could just wait,
could proceed on yeah. not being with either.
I could just go to talk with people and then just not say anything after a while, and they'd just be like, well, what's wrong with you? Fuck you, I'm out of here.
Man, you think
I always really liked that was an option, like if you got into a conversation with someone in that game, just to not say anything long enough, and they'd just be like, yeah, whatever, man.
Yeah.
rude. Stoically rude path.
That game is good.
Yeah.
That game continues to be good.
I should play more of that game.
Should get our hands on one of the sequels.
Yeah. One with this, the Western stuff going on. It's got co-op where one of you is a cowboy.
What about that Onimusha game where it's like Onimusha plus that French cop who's always a French cop in movies?
Jean-Paul Renault?
That's the one.
Yeah.
The guy named after the...
I think that's his name?
The car.
I don't know.
Clio Renault? It's one of the cars you get early in Forza 3.
Okay.
Okay.
And Renault is a car company.
Yeah. Maybe it's his car company.
Whoa!
French cop car company. Nope. I got none. I've been playing Just Cause. It's really fun in that game to grab a Gatling gun and just level things slowly. Like, slowly level the entire island.
Yeah, like...
All right, I got this island. I've taken over every town and either, like, rescued it from the bad guys, or if it was a military complex, burned it to the ground. How many more are there on the island? And, like, I zoom out, and I zoom out,
and you just keep zooming out. Yeah.
And then I cry a little, but I also become eager.
Yeah. Yeah, like, just... Like, Far Cry is fun. Like, the guns are kind of... They're not very impactful. Like, I got an AK, and mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it's going to be big and loud and shoot big bullets, and then it's just kind of like, bark, 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 bark.
Yeah, you get that sometimes.
But then you also get a flare gun, which, like, you get to set things on fire.
It's a utility gun.
Yeah. You can actually use it to call enemy reinforcements.
Ha! To call more enemies.
Yeah. Just be like, well, you know, I could use a Jeep right now. Poof.
And then kill all the guys who show up in a Jeep.
But then, like, also the first time I used it, because you can use it as a weapon, like, I hit two guys who were just having a smoke together, just lit them both on fire, and then the rest of the encampment was on fire because it's the dry season.
Whoops. That also sounds... But then, like, what do you lose when that happens? Or is that just sort of like, this is a big on-fire area now?
Well, I mean, it goes out after a while.
Does the encampment come back?
Well, like... Not everything will be destroyed by it, by the fire, I mean. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, every enemy checkpoint will either have, like, health, explosives, or an ammo drop in it. I'm pretty sure you can destroy those things, because the first couple times when I just went around clearing everything out with fire, like, I'd just be going along, and then all of a sudden, like, something just starts exploding and bullets come flying out of nowhere, and I'm just like, what's going on here? And then when I go in to investigate after the fires died down, there's like a charred ammo crate in the middle of the crossroads, and I'm just like, oh, whoops.
You know, I'm a big fan of any game where ammo explodes.
Yeah.
Like Battletech.
Yeah.
Also, that one mod for UT2K4.
Oh?
Yeah.
Which one was that?
It was.
Was it just like one that made weapon
one that made ammo pickups explode?
Oh, okay.
On detonation.
In Team Fortress Classic, the engineer had an EMP grenade, which would do damage based on the ammo you were holding, because it made all the ammo in your pockets explode.
Yeah. Ooh, that's interesting.
I don't move away from the microphone to have a drink of water.
It's okay. Not much going on.
There's tons going on, Nick.
Is
just
there?
The other day, we came into possession of three new indie games.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Voxatron seems all right.
Yep, the Humble Voxatron bundle, which had recently added to it both The Binding of Isaac and Blocks That Matter.
Yep.
I think the one that I'm... I don't know, Voxatron has potential.
Yeah, like, I would love to see, even just the arcade mode, if that got, like, a co-op mode, that would be great. It's kind of weird, just the presentation of, like, the way that the world scrolls,
because
it's very clear, like, here's your plateau of the game, but then as you move around, stuff scrolls into it.
Yes.
It's very evocative of Robotech?
Robotech?
Robotron.
Okay.
That's the one. But at the same time, a lot of times, it makes me think that there's not actually any more of the level when there is.
Well, I mean, the game is in super alpha right now.
Yeah.
It's a very functional alpha. I mean, Voxtron, it's like a top-down, twin-sticky type shooter.
Yep.
With a destructible voxel-based environments.
Which is really cool.
It's got a level editor where you get to edit levels.
I think...
It looks very promising.
The two things I would like to see is, like, vertical scrolling.
Yes.
And, like, I would just like to see more area of a level. Like, I feel like...
Mm.
Everything becomes very crowded. I don't know if that's a sort of a balancing issue or like memory mathematical optimizing issue, but I'd like to see a bit more. Usually when you play like a top-down arena shooter like that, it's everything is very small, so there's a lot of space to run around. I made a game with zombies in it.
Mm-hmm.
Machines and weapons, even Crimson Land was probably on a much smaller scale. Like everything is pretty huge for the amount of play area you get.
Mm-hmm.
What would also be kind of cool is if there was, like, a multiplayer mode, and then you could also log in as a spectator, and it would sort of zoom out and
show... Oh, so
show...
you could see the whole area.
Well, so you could see, like, sort of how distant the players were relative to each other, but they were still surrounded only by the square of area that they could see.
That would be neat.
Because then you kind of only have to render it once.
Mm.
Maybe not. I'm probably wrong.
Okay. I'm super interested in the level editing because as of right now, there's, you know, you can, like, carve, like, scenery pieces out and just kind of place them around. I don't know how much... I know you can edit the appearance of actors, which are, like, enemies and power-ups and stuff. I don't know how much you can do with, like, scripting them. So basically, you can, like, reskin guys at this point.
You might be able to if you look in, like, if in the folder somewhere, there's just, like, player.actor file.
Mm.
And then maybe in that, that's where the actual scripting is, and the in-game editor is just for the visual thing, because, I mean, voxels, I don't know what file format he probably made for that.
The enemy behavior isn't all that complex. Like, I would be happy if it was just, like, you know, create new actor... And then, like, usually guys either just try to run into you or have, like, a shot.
Hmm.
So it would just be like, you know, create actor, melee type, stationary shooting type, moving shooting type.
That would be
And then
cool.
You just get to build a little thing around that. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Being
able to, like, add more weapons and change how they function, too, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, so far you got, like, the pea shooter, and sometimes you get the sword of fortune.
And there's, like, the three-way shot, which is actually a two-way shot, but it alternates which side the shot is fired on and always fires in the middle.
Well, it's because you got your two arms.
And then there's the blaster. And then there's the build shot.
Build shot is rad.
It would be cool to see more done with that, because you could probably have, like, a trigger for destructing object environments, so that way you just make switches, where it's like, destroy this switch, and then that platform will come up. Or destroy the switch, and then that platform will fall down into the pixelated lava, drowning all the monsters on it in
that
fire.
That pixelated lava was so sweet.
That was really nice looking, I gotta say.
And then there was a Chinese myth dragon.
I thought he was shooting lasers at me. Lasers made of rainbows.
Nope.
Gosh.
Those were his rainbow whiskers. So that game is rad.
Yep.
You
were playing some of the middle one. Blocks That Matter?
The middle one?
It was middle in the list.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Blocks That Matter is super cool, too. It's a platforming puzzle game where you play as a Tetris robot seeking to free his Swedish indie developing masters from kidnappingers. They got kidnapped, and you gotta save them, and you're a robot.
Yeah.
Who can drill through blocks and place them in fours, because he is a Tetris robot.
Which, I kind of like that conceit, that he is a Tetris robot. When you say you place them in fours, do you pick, like, a Tetris shape and then place that somewhere, or is it, like...
You go into puzzle mode.
Where oh, gosh.
Time stops, everything freezes, and then you can place blocks. They have to be in contact with either the level geometry or blocks that you've already placed. And then you have to get four of them out, and then you confirm it, and then they just kind of snap into existence.
Okay.
And then you just kind of make any configuration of four blocks.
Do they have to be contiguous?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That would be Tetris.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. That is sort of neat. Makes me think of, like, I want to play around with more time stop in games.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because I finished Ghost Trick the other night.
Yeah.
And you can kind of make some cool stuff happen with time stop, as we've seen in the seminal classic JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Yes.
Episode 6. The true episode 6. Episode, like, 26. However you want to count that.
The one where Dio, like, totally fucks with that guy. And it's so sweet.
Yeah. The one where he throws a boat at him.
No, I mean, just when he's, like, messing with that guy in the cab. And
oh,
he just,
yeah,
like, keeps throwing him into and out of the cab. And the guy's like, what the fuck is going on? And Dio's just like, time powers!
Yeah,
except at that point,
good.
You don't even know it's time powers. Unless you've, you know, seen Muda.Swift.
Yeah.
But,
hold on.
Okay,
no,
you go.
Because in Ghost Trick, you, later into the game, you have, like, another ghost friend who has a different power than yours.
What?
And his power is that instead of being able to, like, sort of trick manipulate objects, like making a lamp turn on or whatever,
yeah,
he
yeah.
can swap items that have the same shape.
Okay.
Or at least
so
visually
can, like,
appear the same at the time.
He can replace, like, microphones with lollipops.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't, like, this is not really the answer to a puzzle, because it's one of those times when they tell you the answer to a puzzle. But there is a moment when his time stop ghost shenanigans cause a man to be shot with a sweet potato. By the way, that game is super good.
Lend it to me.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me save a clear data. I don't know if there's a new game plus or something, but I can't. Let me roll ends with you.
I don't have it.
Why
that
not?
Was RJ's.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
You don't still have it?
No.
Who has my puzzle league?
I don't know.
I really want
Jill?
That back. I don't think it's Jill.
Okay. I get back to Blocks That Matter?
Oh, yeah. yeah, what else is there?
Because I just want to say, like, the writing is, like, super charming and just... It's just so pleasant. Like, you have the whole thing with, like, you know, the guys being kidnapped by mysterious dudes in black suits, but then, like, you're just going around, and it's like, I told you! Look! Slimes are real! Because then you get, like, the first level with enemies, and they're slimes, and it's like, okay, look, I know you probably want to hug it, but you can't, because due to an oversight in your explosive nano-reset module, you will explode if you touch a slime twice. So, no matter how cute they are, you can't touch them.
And then you touched one.
And then I touched one, and then I got an achievement for it called I Kissed a Slime, and I liked it.
Yep.
I hope my boyfriend don't mind it.
Developers.
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 Developers. Developers. Developers.
Lizard Man, Lizard Man, Lizard Man.
And then they're like, are you so sure they had guns? Because I kind of got a look at them, but no, I'm pretty sure they were guns. Hold on. Because I said I got to look at them, and I don't know if Toyplex makes guns. Like, are you saying that they were toy guns? Yes, toy guns.
Oh.
Toy guns is always one word.
Oh, okay. easier to say than toy boats. So the third game in a pack was Binding of Isaac.
Yes. I remember the first time we talked about this. I don't think it was in front of mics, but did I say or did you say that one of us didn't really feel that it was, like, a roguelike?
That was me.
Oh, that was you?
That was me because, like, basically it comes down to first impression. If you can, like, it is more immediately apparent that it is sort of a Zelda twin-stick shooter than it is a roguelike.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, it's just a matter of being a roguelike is kind of incidental. Because, like, I played it through on one thing last night, and, like, yeah, permadeath, you don't keep stuff. But that's the same way twin stick shooters work. You don't get to start with options after you die in Gradius, you know? But yeah, like I played through it last night, got to the final boss, and that's rough.
Sorry.
But I got, like, a code
hanger.
Who's
the final boss?
It's Mom.
No!
Of course it's Mom.
Is she monstrous?
She doesn't fit in the room.
Ew.
Yeah. It's okay. You're pretty gross by that point, too.
Did something happen to her? She like, seemed pretty normal in the opening scene.
Like, I had a half-brother attached to my head, which was also a bomb with a wire coat hanger through it. I was wearing mom's bra, high heels, and undies. I don't know what the bra did, because that was a power, and I just kind of left that behind, because I already had Shoop the Whoop power.
The undies are a range upgrade. I got that one, too.
Yeah. I mean, like, the bra is like you activate it, and then you wear it on your head for a while. So I don't know if that, like, makes you invulnerable for a certain amount of time.
That game's so
gross. I didn't
gross.
Care, because it was super gross. Like, wearing pants? Wearing pants feels like an upgrade. Wearing a necessary bra?
On your
not
head?
Not necessarily an upgrade.
Getting a wire coat hanger stuck through your forehead?
Yeah.
Getting the human growth hormone that makes you all lumpy and gives you more powerful tears?
When you get a wooden spoon, you just get wooden spoon imprints all over your face. Like, you didn't actually use it, you just hit yourself with it for a while, and that's what made you better. That game is super... You did get lard and get super fat.
About halfway through my second playthrough, I just found the belt.
Oh. Oh. Actually, I picked up both lunch and dinner on a playthrough.
What?
I believe lunch was cat food and dinner was dog food.
Aww.
Yep.
I feel super bad for Isaac.
Yeah, I know. I think you're supposed to.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. That game might be a commentary on something. It might just be super gross. Like,
yeah,
that
I think
dude,
it's just super gross.
He just makes things that are super gross.
Yeah.
Like, it happened in Time for Cuck. If you died too many times in a single room, you started to have, like, a clone face grow out of your head.
Yeah.
That game was also super gross.
That game was pretty good, though. I liked it.
That game was a browser game.
Yeah.
So I can link to that, too.
Woo!
Also, I don't know how many people know this. I mean, I posted about it on the Twitter, so if you follow our Twitter, you know about it.
Okay.
But there is a, like, two-level demo for Binding of Isaac up on Newgrounds.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And it's, like, right browser-based in... It's just a browser-based demo, so you get... And you get, like, a decent playthrough of it. Like, you do get to see a bunch of what's in the game.
It's probably enough that you could fuck up and die.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although, like, right after where that demo would end, gets starting getting kind of hard.
The caves?
No, you get, like, the first set of caves. I mean, it's only, like, four levels.
Yeah.
Or five levels, the last one's the boss. But, like, if you get two levels, that third level shit starts to get real.
Wait, if you're like, going down the whole time.
Yes. Don't ask me.
Okay.
But ask me anything about the Binding of Isaac.
Oh, okay. If you're going down the whole time, and you start out in the basement after you escape from your mom by going down, how do you go down enough to run into your mom again?
The mom up top is a gross twin baby.
What?
I don't know. Binding of Isaac is super gross.
Oh, okay.
That's the answer to every question about Binding of Isaac.
Yeah, it's super, super gross.
It's also kind of fun.
Yeah.
Like,
it's alternatingly, like, super gross and kind of cute, except then you're just like, oh, poor Isaac, you just got grosser.
Yeah. To go back to last week with Dark Souls, I'd say this is another one where if you just made it a robot, I'd be more into it.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is one of those times where how gross is he going to get is kind of the hook. Like, if it wasn't for that, and there's other things I would probably play.
Ugh.
Other very similar things.
So gross.
So gross.
Like, you find those enemies that are, like, they just cry and run away from you, and then flies fly out of their head and attack you.
Ugh.
So you have to kill them, but they're always crying and running away from you.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You know those guys who are, like, super jumpy? Okay, if they jump into a fire, they just get lit on fire and continue being jumpy instead of dying. So gross. And they're already headless. What the hell
yeah.
is with that? Speaking of replacing things with robots,
yeah, let's get off,
various
let's
indie
get
bundles.
Off the Binding of Isaac.
I got the Indie Royale
yeah.
pack, which has Sanctum in it.
Yeah.
That game, pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I like it. I do want to play more of it. It's another one to sort of just kind of kick back with.
Okay.
Because it's not, like, super intense. The game sessions are kind of long so far.
Jensen told me that his problem with that game was that it just got, like, ferociously difficult with no warning at some point. It seems like that wasn't really the case for you, because by the time that I saw you playing it, it was, like, a day or two after you told me you had got it, and you'd already beaten it on normal.
Well, I mean, I beat one level.
Oh.
Like, there's like six or seven levels, to my knowledge. I imagine he's talking about a couple of levels in.
I thought you said you had beaten that game.
No, I'd beaten that level.
Oh.
Which is why I was going through it easy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
But also going back to, like, that game, that pack had three other games in it.
Yeah, what you got?
Gemini Rue, which
I've heard of before.
Yeah, I saw a couple of people on Twitter going sort of woo-hoo about it.
Woo!
Woo Rue!
Is that Rue like R-U-E or Rue like R-O-U-X?
R-U-E.
Aw.
Like Gemini Rue the day.
No, like that's the road we live on. We live on Gemini Rue.
No, wouldn't that be Germinate? No.
Keep going.
Isn't it like a point-and-click adventure game?
Oh,
from
yeah.
From what I can tell. I don't know anything about it, except
I thought
people seem to think it's super good.
Couldn't be made anymore, like by law.
No, it's okay.
I'm pretty sure there was a court order.
Only Telltale Games can do it?
Yeah.
Doing Back to the Future games?
Only them and the occasional Sam and Max.
That's also Telltale Games.
Oh. I don't know anything about video games.
Telltale
I don't
Games
know why
makes all
you
the
have
adventure
me on
games
this popcast.
The popping cast?
This Pobcast. I don't know anything about anything.
So Gemini Rue is a thing. And then Ares Extinction is in there.
I've been teaching here for 17 years, and no one has ever asked me if I was qualified for this job.
Like, is that a joke? Because that's something somebody would probably actually be able to claim.
Yeah.
And that's scary. It makes a joke stop being funny. Even though most jokes are based in truth.
I mean, what if I did it in, like, a drunk Coach McGurk voice, as it was originally delivered?
Then it would be hilarious again.
Okay.
Well, because then that's John Benjamin's voice again. And
yeah.
You
and that dude's funny.
Yeah, that dude's just fucking hilarious. What is it? Ares Extinction? You played that game. I haven't played it
yet.
Yeah,
that game is sweet.
You said it's kind of like Abuse, right?
Yeah, it reminded me of Abuse.
We got to talk about Abuse at some point.
We never did?
We never talked about Abuse.
Oh, for
and
real?
Apparently
that's
like
classic.
Like the best game that runs on Linux.
For real?
Oh, no. UT runs on Linux. It's the best free game that runs on Linux. Cause
it's the
that,
best DOS game that runs on Linux?
It's like either that or Tux Racer. If it's running on Linux, it's not a DOS game.
Yeah, but it was a DOS game when it's not running on Linux.
When it's running on DOS.
Yeah.
Maybe it's on Mac, too. What then?
Then I don't fucking know.
These days, Macs run on BSD.
Yeah. Doesn't that make them some kind of Unix thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's a Unix system. I know this.
As a Unix system? As a Unix system
oh, no!
Living in this American society. Bleep, blarp, bloop.
My cover's been blown. Abort! Abort! Sudo, get the fuck out of here.
Sudo 51? I knew it was a robot.
Oh, no! Robot with fantastic genes.
He does have good genes. He doesn't remember the genes that he made, though.
No.
And there was another game in that pack.
Yes.
Called Nimbus. And that's kind of what made me think about me having bought this pack in the first place, because that also seems like a very chillax, puzzling platformer, like you seem to describe Blocks That Matter as.
Mm-hmm.
Like, apparently you play as a cloud,
mm-hmm.
and you just need to find ways to navigate the levels, because you're a cloud and don't necessarily have the means to navigate of your own volition.
So you just kind of have to drift into wind?
Yeah, like in my mind, I just imagine the incredible machine. So there's like, you have to set up like systems of fans and pulleys and bellows to blow your cloud around. But it also makes me think of cloud, which we also never talked about.
Did you ever used to, with like the incredible machine, just like you set up a thing that's almost completed and then just like give it to your friend and then you just pass off doing that just back and forth?
Like completing things or?
Yeah, just be like, okay. I made this thing, and then I took all these pieces out of it. I'm going to give you some of these to kind of throw you off. Finish this level.
You mean like an Exquisite Corpse?
Eh?
Apparently the Exquisite Corpse is like the fancy name for the exercise where you take like a big long strip of paper and you just like fold it so you only see
that.
And everybody adds a little?
No, this was just build levels for your friends in the Incredible Machine.
Oh, I never did that.
Oh, that's super fun.
I haven't really played The Incredible Machine since the time I was homeschooled. That was a long time ago. Before the invented
when's
friends.
When's the, like... What's the most recent Incredible Machine-style game? Because I want it.
I feel like...
I want it.
Was it the new Incredible Machine?
I don't know.
The Incredible Machine Returns.
Like...
The Incredible Toon Machine 2.
It, like, is there a name that... Like, that's...
The Incredible Toon Machine was weird.
I want games like that to still exist.
There's a... That's, like, a whole genre of Flash games now, actually.
Of Flash games?
Flash games.
Huh.
There's the one where it's like you gotta complete power circuits.
I used to have one like that.
I know about one where it's like all a series of ramps and you gotta get like a ball to break a target. And there's like...
And Armadillo Run is kind of an Incredible Machine-like game.
I still haven't played that.
Oh,
I've
for
always
real?
Wanted to play it. I don't know how I never got around to it.
Like, you have it, right?
No, I don't.
I have probably it. Why I can, I don't I can get it to you.
That would be nice.
Okay.
Okay.
Or you could go, you know, buy
I
it.
I could go buy it. I had something else to jump to before... We gave up the ghost.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was it the Incredible Machine?
No, it was Trackmania.
Those games are sick.
I mean, I can just... We can just share. Right, because it made sense. Because Trackmania, I feel like... That's the sound of a gavel. I'm about to make a judgment.
Okay.
It is time that we have our Trackmania contest. Or just a Trackmania event.
It is time to drum up some interest in Trackmania.
Yeah, because, like, okay.
Get some shit done.
What, Trackmania 2 Canyon just came out.
Yeah.
They have the editor for Shootmania done. I can't say that without just feeling so dumb. Like, oh, man, I'm excited for Shootmania. I must be four.
But if you go to the Shootmania Wikipedia page, it's like, this is an upcoming game from some crazy dudes. It's going to have a cryo environment and a something else environment and a something else environment. And the main weapon will be a rocket launcher, which is atypical of shooters. And I'm like, have you ever played Tribes? Or Quake?
I mean, that might be the only weapon. There might only be one gun in that game. That
rocket Arena.
That is not
I'm okay with Rocket Arena.
What about Rail Arena? Okay, they'll have two weapons, rockets and rails.
Rockets and rails?
Right.
Okay.
That might be dumb.
No, see, the,
There's no health bars. Everything is instant hit. It's just whether you want to hit now or later.
Oh, that would be dumb.
No, then you could make it one gun with a primary and alt fire.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a shock rifle from UT.
Except yeah.
Bigger splash damage on the alt, rather than being a splash damage on a combo.
Oh, my God.
And smoke trails. The shock rifle did not have a smoke trail. And I believe that is vital to the rocket experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's make Shootmania before they can.
But they're already doing it, and I don't know how to code.
But if we just do it first, then we can, like, we can prove that we made Shootmania and that they're trying to cop it from us, right?
So you're saying we just do it first?
We just ninja it.
Okay, we can do this first.
Like,
right,
like they're in the Shootmania thread, and they're like, F-I, and then we show up, and we're just like, first! Oh, and then like three people post, and then they show up, and they're just like, oh, what the?
We can get them. We can get them on this.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Trackmania.
Yeah, but like in the past, it was because we were living in a dorm at the time, but we were just like, all right, here's this game. Let's introduce it into this community of the dorm. It will spread like wildfire.
Yeah, and everybody caught on like a flash fire for like a week, right?
It was longer than a week. Like, we did it. It was maybe, like, a couple of months.
Oh, yeah? It was a semester?
It was probably, like,
the Trackmania semester?
It was probably, like, a month of everybody being into it, and then everybody just got quiet and started working on big, elaborate things that never got finished, and that process lasted probably another 2 months.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. It was pretty cool, though. I mean, that's where Mech Attack came from. Like, that was after the initial event and never really got showed off.
But now, with the internet, the whole world can be our dorm.
Yeah. What? That sounds gross.
Yeah.
We'd all have to share a shower.
Yeah.
Don't say such things.
Everyone's, like, super afraid of getting dick watched.
Ah. Yo, what time is it? I don't know. Let me check my dick watch. Oh.
Oh, no. No, now I'm thinking of one of those ones with, like, the segmented metal band, and it's just pinching. It's pinching, Nick. Go home.
This is my home.
So anyway, we want to drum up some Trackmania activity, and we want to get people making maps and sharing them.
Okay, yes to the last part. I say we don't want to drum up any activity, because they have a community. I've been looking on their forums lately to try and get to the bottom of my problem about why I can't validate my code.
Oh, yeah?
Apparently it has something to do, probably, with the fact that I made the account on the free version before it was Forever. Because Forever updated the free and the paid for at the same time and changed the account types.
So can you make a new account now?
I don't know if I want to, because it turns out I already had two accounts that had the same name, same, apparently the same login as well, but had, like, different metal amounts and, like, biography information. So they had some wacky thing. I think I disconnected one, but I don't know if that deleted it on their server. And, and going to the forums to try and see if anybody else had already had this problem and learned how to sort it out. You know, like, what internet communities are like?
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's rough there.
It's so rough. Like, one guy posted, like, I had this problem, and I talked to them, and we did this, and then now it's fixed. And then the very next post was, hey, okay, thanks, same problem. You post step by step, please?
Yeah.
And, like, not even, like, joking. Like, he was the low point, but that whole community is kind of rough, kind of... Too many people probably not speaking enough of the same language is probably not helping.
Well, I mean, if you still have this key that has not been used to validate account, you could probably just make an account and then validate it with that key.
No, but it's like the key to my account. It's tied to my Steam login, at least.
Okay.
Like, all that keeps me from doing is buying cars through their in-game store.
And sending me mail.
And sending you mail, and apparently if I wanted to, like, add more slots to my buddy list, apparently you can only have 64 friends unless you pay them coppers. I don't know...
Which are an old form of planets.
Yes. Yeah, like, why do I even want my planets?
My coppers. I don't even know why I want coppers. Like, I went back and played the game again, and it was like, oh, we see you haven't logged in, you know, within a month or two. We're going to give you 500 coppers to kick you pack off. And I'm like, I don't know what these are for. It, like, cost me like 2 coppers to send a mail.
It costs 100 for each buddy list slot you want to add.
Okay.
It costs...
Like, is there a map publishing thing where I could publish a map and earn coppers from people playing it?
Apparently, in order to host a, like, store page on their in-game system, like their in-game internet that they've built, you need to pay them coppers to post it. I think you need to pay them coppers maybe to, like, change it and upload items to the store page. I think you need to pay coppers in order to add certain pages to your own bookmarks. And also, I think you need to pay a ridiculous amount of coppers and planets, because this is... I'm also just trying to engineer backwards from what I've been hearing on Giant Bombcast about the second one. Apparently, to become, like, an official server, you need to give them back planets.
Yeah.
And coppers and stuff. Actually, it was pretty great. Like, I was looking.
So what's the point of this? What do we want people to do, Nick?
The point of this is, this game is really good, and I'm trying to get people who haven't really played this game before, but are into, like, super awesome games.
Yeah. Like, this is just a fun arcade racer with a map editor, and you can put in your own horns and skins and stuff.
Yeah, like, you can get, you know, a sixth of this game for free, but I don't think the other... 5/6 of the game are even really necessary. Like, I keep looking at it, and I like the look of 3 of them. So, like, what is that? Four more are going to waste out of the ones that I actually play?
What are you talking about?
Like, I only like Coast and Bay.
Oh, whatever.
And Stadium. But, I mean, it's like... But the point is, like, you get essentially the full experience by getting the free one.
Yeah.
So if you can get the free one, everybody should just get the free one. And then we'll have, like, a day. We'll spend, like, 2 weeks. People make, like... 5 maps each.
Within 2 weeks?
You can do that. You can make, like, a map in a day.
Whatever you can produce.
I mean, I figure if we only get, like, 2 people to show up and they only have, like, 1 or 2 each.
Yeah, I just don't want to put such, you know, like, intimidating requirements on people.
5 maps is intimidating?
If you've never fucking played this game, maybe.
Oh, maybe. I don't know, like, maybe it's just me, because I spend more time making maps and skins and stuff than I do racing.
What we're saying is we're putting out a call.
putting out a call.
We're shooting for the 29th of November.
Keep track on our Twitter, at Oliku. And I'm going to put on the Facebook page, I can use that to create events.
Oh, cool.
So I'm going to make one
of those. Put that event together, we can collaborate on the Facebook page.
Right. So that way, that Tuesday, the 29th, we'll just have, like, we'll go to town on it and we'll play some fucking Trackmania.
And I guess they send the maps to us and then we host a thing?
We'll figure out who can host, because we had some trouble playing last time, but I imagine that's because of wonkiness?
Something.
By that time, we'll figure out
a way to
make it
work. Yeah, we got a couple of weeks to figure it out.
It's time for you and for us.
You can figure out which ports to open.
Yeah.
It's going to be rough. We're going to need like 2 or 3 weeks to figure that one out.
Yeah, we're going to have to call up tech support, and then we're going to have to go down to tech support, and then we're going to have to become tech support.
Whoa.
And once we gain their trust, then that's when we take them out. And we'll usurp their magical technical powers.
We'll eat their hearts.
What would you eat on somebody who is a technology mage?
Their heart.
Would it be their heart? I don't think you code with your heart.
It would be their heart.
What about their lungs? Maybe they can breathe underwater too. I've never encountered a techno mage.
Okay.
They have iron lungs. They can breathe in many an atmosphere. Like water. Water is not a very good atmosphere, by the by.
That's what an iron lung sounds like.
Yeah. I'm going to have to remember to add the echo in post. So that way, you know what it sounds like when you're inside an iron lung.
Okay.
We good?
Yeah. All right. So yeah, wait, no, we're not good. We have to do the outro and everything, you asshole.
This hasn't even been like a... I don't do anything on guidance.
Maybe you should... You definitely got to edit this one. Are you kidding?
I got to cut some of this.
You can find us at Olikudus... The main website is olikustudios.net.
You'll want to go there because I got a couple of links to post. Trackmania and the Binding of Isaac demo and a dinosaur and lasagna.
And you can find that under the show notes at olikustudios.net/podcast. You can find us online. We are Twitter at Oliku. We have a Facebook page where we'll be collaborating and coordinating this Trackmania map-making event. You can find us in the iTunes Music Store, in the Zune Marketplace. You can email us at podcast@olikustudios.net.
And I'm pretty sure that's it.
Yeah. So, thank you for listening. We look forward to hearing from you in the future. And I hope you look forward to hearing from us.
Yep. I'm sorry, I just got K-Story music stuck in my head.
Oh, okay. That's lovely.
Pushed everything else out. It's
okay. That's not quite it.
That's close.
Stop this. Stop this and edit this bit out. Good night.
Nope.